Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, October 14th. I'm Ray Graff. It's always great fun when we get to welcome back Deanna Fox to the Food Friday show. Deanna is a food and agriculture writer and cooking instructor. You've seen her work in the Times Union and all over Albany, and you know she's been on this show many times before to talk about things like, oh, I don't know, pie, yes, and many other delicious things. Well, today she is not here to talk to you about pie, but the art of braising and roasting. Now, she has been schlepping in the kitchen since 3:15 in the morning, for Pete's sake. The least you can do is call in with a question. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, braising and roasting, Deanna Fox. Well, let's put that the other way. Deanna Fox, comma, braising and roasting, your calls coming up on Vox Pop. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a Food Friday, and today we welcome back Deanna Fox to the show. She is a food and agriculture writer and cooking instructor. Her work best known locally in the Times Union, all over Albany and Vox Media. More can be found on Facebook as Fox on Food, right? Am I right about that?
That's correct.
Not yep. Food on Fox, Fox on Food.
Fox on Food.
Or on Twitter and Instagram, at Deanna and Fox. Today we'll talk about braising and roasting. And I got to tell you something. I've already had some delicious food, and we'll talk about that in a minute because I'm going to have some more. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number, 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, we mentioned the Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so you have, I follow you on Instagram. You have an Instagram. 3:15 in the morning, you're making what we ate today.
I know. Well, it takes a little while, but that's the whole concept of braising. Braising is like a slow, long, low heat process.
All right, let's first of all tell us what you brought, and then we'll talk about how you made it starting at 3:15 in the morning, which, by the way, is insane for a program that you don't get paid for.
Yeah, but I mean, I get to eat the food, so it's okay.
It's really good.
Yeah, and there's leftovers at home, and it's better like the second day.
So it's beef bourguignon.
It is.
It's delicious.
Yeah, thank
you. It's so good. What's in it?
Well, it's like a classic French dish, and it's really like a peasant dish. It's kind of like a mishmash, this and that, and you know, there's so many different iterations of what it is. So the recipe is online at the WAMC website.
That's right.
And that recipe has mushrooms and onion in it. And I today made it with carrot and pea instead because I had those on hand, so I threw them in. But basically, it's a beef dish and, you know, a relatively inexpensive cut of beef that you would cube up and that you could marinate. And you let it hang out in a bowl with some brandy or cognac and some red wine.
For how long?
For at least 4 hours. But if you're really in a pinch, if you do it just for an hour, you just want the red wine to kind of tenderize the meat. You can use a tougher cut of meat and let it tenderize. And then you brown some bacon. You cut bacon into lardons, which are little strips of bacon.
Yeah.
And that's just to help
lardons.
Lardons.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And you let the fat render out of the bacon.
Okay. What do you do with the fat? I know what you do. You save it for future use.
I save all the fat. Yeah. You strain off some of the fat and you take the bacon. You want to have at least a couple of tablespoons of bacon fat in there. And then you will add the beef. You'll take the beef out of the red wine and try to pat it dry as best you can. You'll throw that into the pot with the bacon fat and a little bit of flour to help thicken it, and you'll coat you'll cook it until it's brown, and then you'll add your red wine marinade and your brandy, everything that you were soaking the beef in before, back
right.
in. Throw a bouquet garni, which is equal parts of parsley, rosemary, thyme, and bay leaf that you tie up with butcher twine so that you don't have to sit there and like dig it all out, and a little bit of garlic. And then you bring it up to a boil, you add some beef stock too.
Okay.
Then you put the lid down and...
The lid on crock pot?
You could do this in a crock pot.
What do you use, Dutch oven?
I use a Dutch oven.
Yeah?
Yeah. And you can do it on the stove, and you can just let it simmer on the stove. I like to put it in the oven so I don't have to worry about splattering on the stove. So I think in the recipe I told you 375, put it in the oven for a couple of hours, add your bacon back in. If you're doing mushroom, onion, carrot, pea, whatever you want to add in.
It's such comfort food. Perfect for this time of year,
good.
By the way.
And it's better like the second and third day. It's better.
So basically, the cheaper the cut of meat you use, the longer you would soak it?
Right. Or cook it. You want it to be nice and tender.
Like, so tell me about braising. I mean, as you well know from doing this show several times, I know jack about cooking anything. So tell me what braising is.
Sure. So braising and roasting are a similar concept, except one you do hot and dry, and the other is slow and wet. So braising is a process where you're cooking meat, but it can be vegetables as well, especially like root vegetables, something that's kind of hard, in liquid for a long amount of time, usually in the oven. Roasting, the same thing in the oven, but it's very dry. Yeah. So it's like a very dry whole chicken or, you know, piece of fish or something like that, or also vegetables, and you do it at very high heat. Mm-hmm. So that's roasting.
Our guest today, Deanna Fox. We talk roasting and braising today on the program. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. The phone number is 1-800-348-2551. Before we get to the phones, here are a couple that came in. Actually, one, it looks like, came in. Oh, I see. The question is in the subject heading. That's why. It just says Donna. It's not much of a question. The subject is, what vegetables besides potatoes are good to roast?
Really, everything. Any kind of root vegetable. I love roasted radishes. Radishes are, you know, God's gift to your mouth, I think. They are wonderful. Anything that's hard. So a potato, but any kind of potato. A sweet potato would be fine. Squash. Rutabaga, any of that weird stuff that you get in your CSA box, like a kohlrabi, that's great to roast.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So.
All right. This one came in from Gina, who says, can you talk venison?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love venison. Growing up, I ate more venison than probably any other protein.
Grew up out in the woods, did you?
Yeah. I grew up on a dairy farm.
Ah.
But even though we were surrounded by cows, we had very little beef, and it was a lot of venison. So venison is great. The one thing you have to be careful with venison is that sometimes it gets a little gamey taste.
Sure does.
If you get like a buck, depending on how long the process is between it being butchered and being actually dispatched, and what time of year that you harvest it, it can get a little gamey. But for the most part, it's quite good. And braising and roasting is a great thing to do with venison. Venison usually, because it's a wild. It's wild game. You can buy farmed venison, which is usually fed some sort of grain, which will be fattier. But for the most part, if you're using wild caught, any kind of game, so venison, moose, elk, caribou, any of that stuff, it's going to be tougher and leaner. So braising is great for that because you can introduce a lot of tenderness and a lot of flavor in whatever you roast it in. So the recipe that's online for this beef bourguignon is great for venison.
And I would think that just the seasoning and the way you make it would cut any gaminess that there might be in the venison.
It can. Sometimes you can still get a little funk, but for the most part, it's pretty good. But think about when you're cooking wild game, what's around it when it's being harvested. So what do deer eat? They eat berries and they eat fruit that have come off the ground. So, you know, try roasting it with an apple puree, or take you know, you can braise it just in red wine and add some garlic and some rosemary in there, and then make some sort of reduction with balsamic vinegar and maybe black raspberries or blackberries and a little brown sugar to give it some sweetness, and serve that. And it's awesome every time. So
our guest today is Deanna Fox. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go to Trish in Poughkeepsie. Trish, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you. I gave up on pork some years back when it just stopped being juicy and flavorful. But the other day, I saw a wonderful buy on beautiful-looking pork chops, loin chops, and I bought some. So I seared them. I softened some onions and apple slices in butter, and then I seared the chops quickly, and I added applejack.
Ooh.
Which I happen to have on hand, and I braise them for about an hour. And I want you to know that pork had no flavor, was as tough as nails. Oh. It was just horrible. And what on earth is wrong?
Yeah, so sometimes it's really funny. You think that if you braise something for a really long time, like short ribs or any kind of tough piece of meat, that it'll just automatically fall apart. But it can actually go the other way sometimes, too. And the meat can seize and get really tough.
Do you know why that happens?
I'm not sure why that happens, but, you know, certain cuts of meat, that can happen. With pork chops, I wouldn't really ever braise a pork chop. First of all, I think like a year, maybe 18 months ago, they changed the cooking time on pork. And so people were cooking it to, like, I don't know, some ungodly number, like 180 degrees, and then letting it rest, and it would come up another 10 or 15 degrees. So it would be really dry. And I think now they're telling you 160 on pork. I'm not totally sure, but I think that might be correct. So you can take your pork out a little bit sooner, and most places are telling you that a little pink inside the pork chop is okay. It doesn't have to be completely gray or white and cooked through. Kind of like more akin to cooking a steak. So I wouldn't really braise a pork chop. I don't think that's really a cut of meat that's going to do anything for you when you braise it. However, pan searing it like you did and serving it with onion and apple is a fantastic idea. And the apple jack is great. So maybe next time if you find pork chops like that, try pan searing them just in some butter, like equal parts of butter and olive oil. And then putting your oven at like 350 and then just putting them in the oven until they're finished. And that will probably give you a juicier product.
All right. Yeah. I do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trish. We appreciate it. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. So braising and roasting, really you use a big chunk of meat, right? Not just a chop.
Not always. With like short ribs, braised short ribs are great. And they're little chunks of meat. They're little pieces.
That's true.
So you can do that. Other kind of stranger things, like, you know, beef tongue, braised.
You don't see that much anymore.
You don't. You see it in a lot of ethnic food, but I don't think people are cooking it at home as much as they used to, just because people aren't really, you know, once upon a time, you just had the tongue when you slaughtered a cow.
Right.
And you would eat it, but people don't really do that
anymore.
Have you
ever braised a cow tongue?
I have.
Good?
Yeah, it was good.
Our guest today is Deanna Fox. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. It's a Food Friday. We talk braising and roasting and whatever else. Deanna knows just about everything. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Circus Circus, featuring the Beechnut Miniature Circus, alongside circus paintings by Everett Shin, Norman Rockwell, and more, arkellmuseum.org. Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, buttercrunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville, UncleSamsCandy.com. Monticello Licensed Real Estate Broker, 421 New Karner Road, Colony. Utilizing professional photographs, custom websites, and internet marketing to help sell Capital Region homes, MonticelloNYS.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. And Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York, featuring baked goods along with coffee, teas, soups, and sandwiches using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients. RoundhouseBakery.blogspot.in.
Fox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 2:21 on your Friday. You know, the fun drive is coming up. Did you know that, Deanna? The fun drive on Monday?
On Monday, I know.
6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very exciting. The lockbox is going well. I don't have the exact total right now, but we're getting probably within about 10 grand of the $400,000 mark. And if we do that, if we hit 400,000 before the drive starts, Jane Kane, great friend of the station, will give us $10,000 more. So we will go into the fun drive on Monday morning with Alan at 6 a.m. with over $400,000.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get back to regular programming that much faster. So if you want to go and help us reach that lockbox challenge, it's WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and you'll see the lockbox there. We are on a Food Friday here with Deanna Fox. We talk roasting and braising today, and the food is delicious. Thank you for bringing it, and the wine is good. Let's go to Kemp in New Paltz. Kemp.
Oh, hi. I wanted to respond to the woman who just called about the pork being dry and flavorless, that I believe the best cut to use is a pork shoulder. So if you can get shoulder chops or just get a piece of pork shoulder, you can braise that, and you will be rewarded with delicious, moist meat with flavor. And I believe that the temperature, if you want to cook pork chops, I cook a lot. And if you want to cook pork chops, then the thing to do is just to brown them on top of the stove and take them basically to 145. That is my understanding from the USDA.
Right. So, that might be, that might
so
be
in
correct.
In terms of braising, you if you want to braise them, it's just a few, you know, just a few minutes, but you don't really want to go beyond the 145.
Right.
Degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that's great. And the pork shoulder is a great cut. I just braised one of them on Wednesday night for a class. But sometimes it will be listed as Boston butt.
Right, which is so confusing because you think it's from the rear end, but it's not.
No.
And that's
hang on, why would they call
the
anything shoulder a butt? Let's get
into
this.
There's a whole story. They're varying stories about that. But, and you can look that up online, but it's an old butcher term.
Huh. Right. So in Boston, anyway, they don't know their butt from their shoulder, is the bottom line.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Exactly.
Right. Well, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox, our guest. This one came in via email, voxpop@wamc.org. And this one is from Jeremy, who says, can you get a decent instant meat thermometer at a supermarket if they sell them, or do you need to go to a specialty kitchen store?
No, you can buy a good meat thermometer. Make sure you're getting a meat thermometer. You know, there'll be a couple of different ones. So you want it to ideally go up to like 180.
Do you want the instant read, or what do you use?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, you can, an instant read will be fine. You want to take it out of the oven. You don't actually like put it in there. You can buy a digital read thermometer that you can put into the meat.
Yeah. Well, I remember the old analog ones.
Yeah, it'll come out of, it has a little wire that'll come out of the oven, and it will alert you when it reaches temperature.
Really?
But, yeah.
A wire that comes out of the oven?
Yeah.
When did this come around?
Oh, it's been around for a while. Yeah. But just a regular instant read thermometer. And make sure, you know, calibrate it every once in a while. And, you know, they're relatively cheap and you can get a new one. But, you know, just when you're putting in your instant read, make sure you're not hitting bone when you do it. Make sure you're going into the thickest part of meat that you can find.
Do you use one regularly, or are you basically touch and feel type?
No. I'll do it on a roast chicken or like a big piece of meat. There are certain things where when you're braising food, you can usually tell when it's done. But an instant read thermometer is a great thing to have.
But I mean, when you're cooking something, how long did you cook this beef bourguignon?
Probably about 2.5 hours.
So it's going to be done.
Right. So when you're braising, you don't have to worry about it so much. But when you're roasting something, like a picture, you have a big, huge, you know, rump roast or something, and it's real thick, and, you know, you can put your knife into it and you can press a little bit to see how the juices are running, which is easier like on a chicken or something or poultry because it'll be clear when it's ready.
Right.
The juices will run clear, but you can't really do that on a piece of beef.
You make a point. But I mean, rare beef, good too, right?
If you like it rare, yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Melanie in Buskirk, New York. Melanie, you're on.
Thank you. Hi. We raise Black Angus cattle for farmers markets. It's all grass-fed beef. The problem I have is I don't know what to do with a sirloin tip. I tried roasting it. I've tried it in steaks, and it just never winds up being tender. It always seems to be tough. I've tried braising it. We finally gave up and just put all of our sirloin tip in the hamburger, which it does make great burger, but still, I would like to know what to do with the sirloin tip. Can you help?
Well, hamburger is a great solution. I think some of the best burgers actually come from a mix with sirloin, but probably, have you ever tried marinating it before you grilled it?
Yeah, but, I have. Maybe I didn't marinate it long enough. The problem with marinating and then grilling is my experience has been that the meat always steams a bit. It doesn't sear very well.
Okay,
so even with my London broils, I don't marinate London broil anymore. I tenderize them with a fork and
Yeah.
Olive oil.
So two things. So if you marinate them with a lot of vinegar or a good amount of acid, so like a citrus juice or a vinegar, especially like a red wine vinegar, something that has some flavor to it, or a cider vinegar, it's going to, the acid in the vinegar or the juice is actually going to help to break down the cell walls, which will make it more tender. And then you really do have to pat it dry. So when it's out of the marinade, take a couple of paper towels and really make sure it's patted dry, or else
dry
it will
feel well after. Okay.
Yeah, or else it will steam and it won't create any char. And that char is a it's a synthesizing of the protein into carbon.
Okay.
And that's what gives it flavor. That's why it tastes really good. But if that doesn't work, try just salting it. So you take, buy kosher salt. Don't use table salt. Use kosher salt.
Why?
Kosher salt, the way that it's all the same. All salt starts off as sodium chloride. It's all NaCl. The difference is whatever kind of minerals might be added to it, or if it's seawater, you know, evaporated seawater that will just have minerals from the sea, or the grain structure. So table salt is like a little building block, and it's very like a perfect cube.
I do use kosher salt. I use kosher, and I also use sea salt.
Right. So the kosher salt, it's actually developed for the koshering process to, you know, extrapolate the blood out of meat so that it's certified kosher.
Oh.
So it actually sticks really well to meat. So try, like, the night before you want to cook it or the morning before, salt it really well. It doesn't have to be caked on there. It's not going to be like salt baked prime rib or anything
like that.
Say that
again. I missed what you just said.
The salt. You want to make sure. Well. Yeah, make sure it's really well. It doesn't have to be like caked on there, but you want to have a good layer that you can see, and put it on just a baking sheet, or, you know, something with a rim, because there will be some liquid that will come off of your meat, and put that in the fridge uncovered. Don't put Saran, plastic wrap, don't put tinfoil, anything on it, into the fridge, and make sure you salt both sides. And then just before you want to cook it, or like an hour before you want to cook it, take it out, pat it really dry with paper towels, and then try searing that. So the salt is going to do essentially the same thing that the vinegar does. It's going to break down the cells. It's going to draw moisture off the surface of the meat, so that it'll sear really well. So it won't steam, it'll sear and create that char. And then it actually helps to break down some of the protein structure in
the
cell.
If it's only on the surface, will it stay as tender as a nice marinated 24-hour London broil?
Yeah, it'll still be tender.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, and actually, that's how I do my London broils.
Yeah.
I don't marinate London broils anymore either. I do the same thing with London broil. And I would put it on a rack in the pan, so the
In the fridge, you mean?
Yes, in the fridge.
Anything. It doesn't, anything that has kind of a rim on it so that any juices don't spill off into your fridge.
I meant if I put it on a rack so that the bottom side can dry too.
You could try that, but I mean, I just leave it as is, and it's usually not a problem as long as you're patting it dry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Melanie. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest today. The email address, also voxpop@wamc.org. We got this one from Carol, who we'll see in the fun drive on Monday, I'm sure, who writes, "You're making me so hungry." Well, you should be, Carol. It's really good. She says, "I wonder if you know about the cholesterol content of venison. Years ago, I'd heard that even though venison is one of the leanest of meats, it's got a really high cholesterol value. Can you confirm or dispel this?"
I don't know. That's a great...
Well, Carol's a nurse, for heaven's sake. Carol should know. You know, I bet you could Google that, Carol.
Yeah.
And not put my guest on the spot here on the program.
I mean, you know, like I said earlier, we had a lot of venison growing up, and I never remember that ever being a concern or an issue, and I've never heard that until now. I would think it would be counter, because it was so lean that it would be lower cholesterol.
That's a very interesting point, but I'm sure that we will have a caller or two who will be able to give us the actual answer on that. I'm interested in the last caller who has stopped marinating London broil.
This
is what I do.
Listen,
I marinate London broil.
You're killing me. You, every time I'm on here, we talk about meat. You tell me the London broil story. You tell me that you marinate it, and I'm telling you, you can't do that anymore.
Yes, you can.
You just gotta salt it.
No. You put it on a nice hot fire with charcoal, and it still chars.
I bet.
It's delicious.
I think we need to have a cook-off.
No, I will not get in a cook-off with you, all right, or a drink-off. Let's go to Buck in Ravenna. Buck, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Good, you're on.
Yeah, I recently picked up a new hobby over the summer here. I've got into smoking meat, and I found it pretty much when you're smoking low and slow, it really doesn't matter what cut, pork or beef or brisket or anything. I find it it works pretty good when, on a low smoke, and I haven't had anything that dried out. I haven't had anything that wasn't tender in the end. I was wondering what your take on smoking meat is.
I mean, go for it. If it makes you happy.
Have you done it?
Do it. Yeah, I've smoked meat a couple of times, but more like sausages.
Yeah.
And cured meats. Nothing like just a chicken or anything like
that.
What
I find with the smoking is because I like to fire up the smoker, do a lot of stuff, and then we break it down and freeze it,
mm-hmm.
and then eat it later. And I find it when with the smoking, you leave your roast whole, put mm-hmm. it back in the freezer. A couple weeks later, you take it out, you put it in the oven, heat it up. It's just as juicy, just as tender as it was the day I cooked it. That's my new way of doing things. We don't cook very much of anything in the oven anymore. I did a little braising. I like to cook. I'm going to try this year. I'm going to try doing some venison in the smoker. But I know inherently I've talked to people and they said that venison kind of dries out in the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try that myself and see how that turns out. You know, like I said, there are different cuts of venison too, but I'm going to give that a try and I'm just throwing that out there to see what your take on smoking meat was.
Yeah, well, it's probably juicier if you smoke it and then you freeze it and then you thaw it out for the most part and then cook it again. It's probably juicier because what happens is that the water in the cells of the meat will crystallize when they're frozen. And then it's almost like little tiny punctures into the cell when that ice creates and then thaws. And it's going to pull out a lot of that moisture. So it's going to be probably a juicier cut of meat after it's been frozen.
Huh.
But have you ever tried smoking vegetables?
No, I haven't really. I have done a little bit of macaroni and cheese in the smoker. Mm. Throw that in there, a nice little smoke to a macaroni and cheese. I've thrown baked potatoes in there, things like that.
Huh.
I know turkey is excellent in the smoker. If you have time to do it, excuse me. It takes a little extra time to do a turkey, but boy, it comes out excellent.
Next time you get the smoker going, buy some cheddar cheese, just some mild cheddar cheese, and throw that in there and smoke it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Have you tried smoking grass, Buck? Just
kidding. Not in a lot of years.
All right, sir. All right. Well, thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it. Deanna Fox is our guest. Let's go to Bob in Cobleskill. Bob, you're on.
Hey, it's a quick recipe for pork shoulder. Braise it, put it in a crock pot, a Dutch oven, throw in a large jar of Heinz pork gravy, a large jar of applesauce, and a half a container of barbecue smoke with a smoked flavor, and just cook it for 5-6 hours. It's like pulled pork, falls off the bone.
See, that sounds good to me, and I'm nodding, and Deanna's shaking her head. What's up with that?
Why are you using canned gravy, my friend?
Quick, 10 minutes.
All right. You can make homemade gravy in 10 minutes. You're killing me.
What's wrong with the canned gravy? It's delicious.
A lot of preservatives in that stuff.
Ah, I see.
Well, the bottom line is that it's quick and the taste is good. So, it's up to you if you want to make a home gravy.
I'm with you, Bob. Enough with this elitist stuff. Good for you. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Don't shake your head at our guests.
You are so rough on me.
What
elitist.
Do you mean? Well, I mean, come on.
Home cooking.
Well, I mean, the gravy you buy can be good, right?
Sure. Or you can, make a quick slurry with a little bit of stock and some cornstarch and add some salt and pepper and put it in a pan.
Now you're sounding like a cook.
Right,
why are we doing this Food Friday? I don't know. This one came in via email from Christine, who says, do you have an opinion about slow cooking crock pot? Parentheses, pork. Thanks, and the show was great. That's from Christine.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing that everyone else has been saying as far as the callers, on their ideas on pork. And it depends on the cut. If you get a pork shoulder or the Boston butt, that's a great thing to just slow cook because it is kind of a tough piece of meat. You can buy it bone in or without the bone, and it's great. But don't use like a pork chop. Don't use a pork loin. A loin is something you're going to want to roast. You can roast in a crock pot. It's just a dry roasting. You're just creating almost like convection heat that's kind of circulating around the meat, which will actually cook it.
So don't put any liquid in it.
No, you could do some, you could do olive oil, rub it with olive oil, salt and pepper, add some aromatics, like fresh herbs, that kind of thing, garlic. But you wouldn't really add liquid to it.
We love the crock pot at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great and so convenient.
Thing.
And you can do. You use a pressure cooker at all?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's basically the same thing, but very fast version of that.
Right. Well, there's some that are like they're combined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great. I know people have those and they swear by them. So
we've done whole shows on that.
Amazing.
And I've done whole shows on cabbages. It's quite amazing here. 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest. Let's go to Dean in New Paltz.
Hi.
Oh, it's Deanne, huh?
Deanne.
Sorry about that. I thought it was Dean. Well, we'll call you whatever. You're on with Deanna.
So, hi. I was calling to ask advice on cooking a beef roast for a party of about 20. I ruined Christmas dinner last year by overcooking the beef and then using the wrong knife to cut it.
Ooh.
So when it was done, the beef roast looked like a pile of pulled pork. And I want the roast to taste delicious. I want there to be enough, and I want it to look nice.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what you did last time. What happened?
I left the beef roast in the oven. I let it sit for too long.
Okay.
So I actually turned it off in time. I think I turned it off in time. And I followed the recipe to the letter. I did everything I was supposed to do in terms of preparation. But then I let the beef sit too long.
Mm-hmm.
And it cooked itself. It overcooked while it was sitting.
Yeah.
And I believe it was still sitting in the oven. And that's probably because I didn't have enough hands on deck trying to help out with the dinner. I think there were too few of us trying to do too much. So anyway, it sat, it overcooked. And then when we started cutting the meat, we used the wrong knife. And it just was overcooked to begin with, so then the knife shredded it up. And it didn't even look like beef.
Sounds like you cut it in the wrong direction.
Did you use a serrated knife?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, you know, a chef's knife or, you know, a meat knife, a slicing knife will be fine. If you're having problems where it's a time issue, why don't you try braising it instead of roasting it? So you could do it just with some beef stock. And if you have a little bit of wine or beer or something like that, something that already has a lot of flavor built into it, you can add a little bit of that into it. It doesn't have to be a super boozy kind of thing. You can just add like a quarter cup or a half cup just to give it some flavor. Make that bouquet garni that's like on the website for the beef bourguignon recipe we have. So it's just bay leaf, rosemary, parsley, and thyme, all fresh. And you tie them up with butcher twine so you don't have to fish them out. Smash up some garlic. You don't even have to cut it. Take the papery skins off and throw that in there. And you can do it in a crock pot. You can cut your roast in half and do it in two crock pots if you need to.
Well, that's what we had to do because the oven, unfortunately, is not large enough for that like one roast that size.
Right.
So what I had to do was I had to make two roasts.
Right.
So then I had to start crunching the numbers in terms of how long you leave the roast.
Right.
And then I think what might have also thrown me off was that I put some vegetables in with the roast, and I think that changed the cooking time. I'm not sure.
That's shown it too much, unless it was, if you can do them. So if you're doing any kind of roast, if you slice up some onion, carrot, celery, and put that in instead of a roasting rack and then put your meat on top, then it won't be a problem. It'll actually give a lot of flavor to the meat, and then you'll actually have some really nice roasted vegetables to serve on the side.
Okay, but it's not going to take longer to make the meat because you've got all those vegetables in there.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't absorb up that much heat. But, you know, one other thing that you can do, I'll give you one more quick thing, is I'm not a big proponent of using a lot of pre-made mixes and that kind of thing, usually because they're just full of preservatives and they go stale. But just some beef stock and a package of, if you can find organic, use organic French onion soup mix and some water. And just put that into your crock pot and let that go for 6 hours.
Deanna Fox is our guest. We got to take a break here. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, don't you know? We'll be back with the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. Bread and Butter, located in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly, breadandbutteramherst.com. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage. Open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com.
It's Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest. We talk roasting and braising today, but I got to tell you, you brought a little dessert, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. So this is homemade dark chocolate pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Can pudding you tell is us about it?
Yeah. Not this particular recipe, but pudding is the first thing I learned to make. I remember I read all the Boxcar Children books growing up, and they put out a cookbook. And my great-grandmother came over one day, and we were looking for something to do. We were having a family dinner, and we got out the Boxcar Children cookbook and turned it to the chocolate pudding recipe, and she taught me how to make chocolate pudding.
Oh, my God. It's got that. It's got the
The skin.
The skin on the top.
The skin's the best part.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the skin off. I pull it off when it's in the fridge, and I eat the skin, and I let it get another skin.
It's so good.
It's so good.
No, God, delicious. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-348-2551. Sean and Delmar. Sean, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, Deanna.
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good. I have a question. So I've done a lot of braising, and I'm curious your opinion if you've ever done a side-by-side of you brown, say, short ribs, pan and then braise them or just put them in the oven directly raw. You've ever noticed the difference in what your preferred method is?
Yeah. Anytime you braise something, you should brown it first in a little bit of oil or any kind of fat that you're going to use. So what the browning does, as we mentioned before, it creates a carbon, a layer of carbon, and the carbon is what makes food taste good. That's why like a grilled chicken tastes noticeably different and some would say better than like a poached chicken. That's why people always want that crispy skin on the outside of the turkey on Thanksgiving dinner. So it really does add it. You do lose a little bit of it. It doesn't have the same texture when you brown it and then you braise it, but you still have that carbon flavor. And it's called, it's like a depth of flavor kind of thing. If you just cook everything at the same temperature ongoing, it kind of is flat. So if you brown things before you braise them, you create layers of flavor and it just creates a better experience, I think.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Sean, have a good weekend. Thank you. Over to Fred in Selkirk. Fred, you're on with Deanna Fox.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Good. Hi.
Okay. I've got, we raised our own pig, and everything came out fabulous, everything but the bacon. And I've got 20 pounds of bacon that whenever we cook it, it basically tastes like shoe leather.
Oh, no.
It's like almost like a jerky when it's done. There's no grease to it. Very, very little in the pan. You know.
Mm-hmm. What kind of can be done? What kind of
Give
pig? What kind of pig did you raise?
Oh heck! Now his name was Lunch.
Well, some pigs.
We raised three of them. We raised three. It was breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
There you go.
So we got lunch.
Yeah.
All right.
So you can try cooking your bacon more like you would cook a pork belly, and you can braise pork belly. So you could brown it, keep it in a big slab or, you know, thick chunks and look for something like try like a Thai style pork belly or some sort of Asian flavor. So you can add in a little fish sauce. There's something that you can find called fermented bean paste. You can find it in the Asian section of most grocery stores. And it's really like has this awesome salty umami flavor. And you can throw some of that in with some chicken stock and some water. And
will that change the consistency, though? He says it's like jerky.
Yeah, if you're keeping it big, if you're not slicing it, if you're keeping it kind of as like almost more like a roast cut of meat.
It's already sliced.
It's sliced already.
That's my problem. Yeah. Okay. So whoever, we sent it to a guy to smoke it, I guess, you know, to prepare it, and he sliced it and everything, you know?
Okay, so try making bacon candy. Have you ever made bacon candy?
No.
Okay. So you put, so take a rimmed baking sheet and line it with foil, and then take like a cooling rack or a baking rack and put that on top, and then lay your bacon out in strips, and in a separate bowl, take like a half cup of brown sugar and some black pepper, maybe like some cayenne pepper or sriracha, any kind of, anything kind of spicy that you have. Mix that together and just press it over the top of your bacon, and then bake it at like 400 in the oven. Until it gets shiny and it looks kind of crunchy, and then so maybe like 20 minutes or 25 minutes, and then you take it out and it's like it's almost like bacon brittle.
Oh, it's really good.
Oh, sounds great. But, all right, we're gonna try it. Thank
yeah,
try
doing your bacon in the oven instead of in a roasting pan in a frying pan on the stove and see how that turns out.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
You too.
Ray, you rest. Ray, rest up a little. You're going
to
need it.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, maybe I'll have to have some bacon next week. Well, thanks a lot, Fred. We appreciate it. The fun drive is coming up Monday. That's what Fred's talking about. 6 a.m., Alan Chartok and I will be in the studio with you as we raise money to keep the station going. And thank you for reminding me about that, Fred. I had forgotten briefly about that. But, yeah, and we have the lockbox. It's going well. If you want to make a pledge now, every dollar we raise shortens the fun drive. So this one came in via email, who says, thanks for a great show. This is from Elizabeth. Would you please talk about sauerbraten?
Okay. What about it? Just well, how to cook it?
I guess.
Well, you can braise sauerbraten. So you can do your cabbage that you slice up with a couple of cans of beer and put your sauerbraten on over that and put the top on, put it in the oven. And you can kind of brown your sausages, like we talked about just with the previous caller. And then put it in the oven at like 375 or 400 and let them until the cabbage is soft. Everything is steaming. Maybe your sauerbraten have split a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're good to go.
That sounds good to me. This one came in also via email. Can you braise a bottom round in wine? And do you need to brown it first?
Yeah. Anytime you're going to braise something, brown it first. Yeah. Just, you know, a little bit of vegetable oil, olive oil, you know, whatever you want to use. Olive oil burns a little bit faster than vegetable oil, so just keep that in mind depending on your cut of meat. But definitely brown things before you put it in. And yeah, any kind of like a top round, a bottom round would be fine. Top round is usually something more you'd find is like it's cut into steaks.
Yeah.
But you can try any of those things and definitely in wine. But cut your wine, not just wine. Do wine and stock or wine and water or something, or else it's going to be, you know, you're going to get drunk.
Yeah. Well, no, the alcohol cooks off, right?
Not that much wine. You need a lot of wine. That's two bottles of wine.
But all right. Well, I think the alcohol will burn off after quickly, right?
Yeah.
The alcohol goes. Have you tried this? Have you ever gotten crocked from eating a braised?
I don't know, but I'm watching you after eating that beef bourguignon, and you're looking a little.
What did you have wine in there?
You're my friend.
I got to drive
you're
a show
listing.
Here.
You're listing.
Oh boy, Tracy in Waterville. Tracy, you're on.
Oh, hi. I think the question just answered my question. I have a bottom round roast that I had purchased because it was on sale for $2.99, and I wasn't sure if I could use it as a pot roast. They said I couldn't at the store, but it sounds like I can.
They said you couldn't use it like in a Yankee pot roast?
Well, they said it would be tough and it wouldn't be very good. So,
yeah. Try braising it. If you braise it, it's going to soften
up. Isn't it the same? Isn't braising the same as cooking it in a pot roast?
Well, depending on how much. Roasting it, yeah. Depending on your pot roast. So a lot of pot roasts, they do end up really juicy. You have like that jus at the end that you kind of drizzle over your potato and your carrot. So if you have something with a lot of liquid in it, it should be fine. If you're just open roasting it, like there's no cover on it, then it is going to probably end up a little bit tough. But, you know, if you have a big roasting pan with a lid, make sure you have enough water or stock in there to kind of help to steam it while it's roasting, and you should be all right. But, yeah,
okay.
Good luck.
Okay, so I can use that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tracy. So what exactly is the difference between a crock pot and a roasting pan with a top that you seal up?
Well, the crock pot is circulating, you know, it's its own cooking device, essentially. So it's kind of monitoring what it's doing. It's going through cycles of turning on and off. And sometimes your oven will do that too. If you have an electric oven, it's kind of the same thing. But, you know, one you have to turn on your whole oven for, and the other is the self-contained heating apparatus.
But it's the same result, right?
Yeah, but oftentimes the thing with crock pots is that people aren't going to brown them. It's not ever getting hot enough where you're going to brown the outside or sear the outside of anything before you put it in. If you want to do that process before putting it in your crock pot, you have to get a different pan out. When you do it in the oven, you can do it right in your roasting pan.
As I understood the braising process from my extensive research prior to the show, you basically, as you have mentioned, you brown in a pan,
mm-hmm.
and then you fill with some liquid mm-hmm. and roast it.
Right.
So that sounds to me like crock pot.
Right. But you're not really ever getting that same amount of char on the outside in a crock pot. If you did it in a separate pan before you put it in a crock pot, it would be fine in the crock pot. It's the same. You're going through the same process, essentially. But if you're doing it in the oven, you can take your Dutch oven or your roasting pan and put it right on your burner and do it there, so you're only dirtying one pan.
Well, this makes sense. Our guest, Deanna Fox, what are you working on right now?
I've got some big stories coming up, actually a piece on beef that we're finishing up. I just had a piece run on milk delivery services.
Milk, they still do it?
They still do it, yeah. Milk is a fascinating thing. So milk sales are down across the board, but whole fat milk is up.
Now, why?
I don't know. I think people are starting to see the light about what fat is and what it does for your body, and it's not always a bad thing.
When they say whole fat, that's what, about 10%?
I'm not sure what the actual breakdown is. Depends on the cow. Depends on the milk fat content. Holstein's usually most milk that you're getting in the grocery stores from Holstein's. I'm not sure what it is, but if you're getting it from a small dairy, they might be Jersey cows, and they have a higher milk fat content in the milk.
So this is an interesting phenomenon. So 1%, 2% sales are down, but whole milk up.
Up.
Why?
But milk across the board is down. I think just people are starting to see, you know, that it's not fat that's really making people fat. It's refined carbohydrates and sugar.
Well, fat helps.
Yeah, and plus, from my understanding, you need fat. So most minerals and nutrients are fat soluble. So you need a fat in your system to bind with the nutrients in order to process them. So you need a little fat.
Here's to fat. Let's go to Penny in Saratoga Lake. Penny.
Hi. In response to the woman who called in about a bottom round roast, I just did one last weekend at my daughter's, and I roasted it, and I did it at 400 for 20 minutes, and then I reduced it to 325, and the whole thing was 20 minutes a pound. And even my son-in-law said it came out perfect, like a deli roast beef. You know, it was brown on the edges, but the inside was rare.
Perfect.
Nice.
And it was nice and juicy. It was not dry.
Good. Yeah, and that's a big thing. A lot of times you'll see that in a roasting recipe, especially for a big cut of meat like that. You'll start it up at 4 or 425, and then you'll reduce it down to 350 or something like that. And that just keeps it from drying out and from the liquid from evaporating too quickly. So good job.
Okay, now does it interfere if you add onions and carrots in the pan? Does that alter the cooking time for the meat?
No.
That's a common question.
Okay. Yeah. Nope, it doesn't. But it adds a lot of flavor, so you should definitely do it. And that's actually...
Yeah, for the gravy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great... So when I roast a chicken, I don't use a roasting rack. I use like two onions that I'll slice up into half-inch pieces, half-inch slices, and I'll lay those in the bottom. And sometimes I'll add carrot and celery, but usually just onion, and I'll put my chicken right on top of that. And then all the fat from the chicken goes down into the onion, and you just have this awesome roasted onion side dish.
Oh, that sounds really,
really good.
Right. I've done that with lemons. Put lemons on the chicken.
Yeah, I'll put a lemon inside my chicken.
So, wow.
Right. Okay, well, I love the program. Thank you.
Penny, thank you for calling the program. Put a lemon in the chicken?
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about? Then you're going to eat the lemon?
No, you don't have to eat the lemon. It gives a lot of flavor to the chicken. But if you're roasting a piece of poultry that has an empty cavity, you have to add something in there or else you're going to get really uneven cooking in your bird.
Right.
So you have to add a lemon that's cut in half or an onion and a lemon. But you can do this thing called spatchcocking, which is a fantastic word.
Yeah.
But basically all it means is that you're cutting out the backbone. So this is how I cook my Thanksgiving turkey now, because it ends up being cooking quicker and cooking more evenly.
You take the backbone out?
Yep, you can do it with a chef's knife or a pair of kitchen shears, and it's you know, a slightly gruesome process. You disjoint the leg, so you can cut through the leg joint where it attaches to the backbone, and then cut up through the ribs, and you save that backbone. You can roast it right in the pan if you want, save it for your stock, whatever you want to do, and then it lays flat. So you can rub the inside, the outside. You don't have to worry about, you know, the cavity and uneven cooking time. And it does shave, probably shaves, I mean, for a chicken, maybe it shaves 15 minutes off. So it's not that big of a deal. But for my turkey, yeah, I can get like an hour off my turkey.
Plus, the whole process must frighten the hell out of the children. Must be great.
Yeah, they love it. They know
really,
how to
they like that?
Chicken. Yeah, and the great thing about when you do a turkey is that if you lay it out flat with all the skin up, you get more crispy skin.
So do you brine turkey?
Dry brine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we like to soak ours. Okay, I think we're at loggerheads here about the whole dry slash marinating. Well, we're about out of time.
All right.
So your website, once again?
Sure. So it's www.foxonfood.com. It's also Fox on Food on Facebook.
Right.
And if you're on Instagram or Twitter, I'm at Deanna N. Fox.
And there's lots of great food pictures always coming from you on Instagram.
Thank you.
Well, this was fun. And if you want the recipe to the beef bourguignon, it's on our website, WAMC.org. Just go to the Food Friday page and you will find it. Thanks again to Deanna Fox for being here. Support comes from Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating, field-goods.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. And Crown Maple Syrup, Hudson Valley, open every weekend for lunch, maple tours, and an October 15th fall festival with carriage rides, craft vendors, local food and drink, crownmaple.com. All right, remember, the fun drive begins on Monday morning at 6 a.m. It's a $1 million fun drive. We are almost at the $400,000 mark before we even start. So feed the lockbox this weekend. WAMC.org. Alan and I will see you Monday at 6 a.m. Have a great weekend. Stand by for news.